I don't know how many of you had the chance to watch the Tour de France of backpedaling that Lance Armstrong did in his interview with Oprah Winfrey, but I thought that it was actually a wonderful conjunction to see that interview on a weekend when we read about the plagues. Because if you ask yourself why it is that God feels it necessary to visit plagues on the Egyptians, you'll realize that the answer we usually give is so that they'll know that God is God. But it seems to me one good plague ought to do that. And you don't really need 10. Unless you're trying to make a separate point. The point being that every society, because remember that the Torah is not only written for its time, but for the future, that every society is plagued by the moral choices that it makes, just as the Egyptians were plagued by the moral choices that they made over and over and over again. And so I started to think about our plagues, because we are celebrants of our society, and rightly so. How often do you hear, especially in a campaign, we are the best, the freest, the richest, the strongest, on and on and on, as though America is nothing but a parade of superlatives. But there, in the figure of Lance Armstrong, was a plague that besets us, and it is not the only one. It is a plague not of ambition, but of ruthless ambition. Of ambition that believes anything I do to succeed is good because it ends up in my success. So it doesn't matter who I hurt, and it doesn't matter who I cheat, and it doesn't matter how I behave, it's okay because it's me. If someone else did it, it wouldn't be good, but it's me, so you understand it's okay. And there he sat, saying over and over again, yeah, I did this, yeah, I did that. When she asked him about the people whose lives he had literally destroyed by lying about them publicly when they tried to tell the truth, by suing them, by firing them. First, I noticed that he switched into the plural. Yes, well, we did sue her. As though he didn't do it. It was sort of a consortium of Lance Armstrongs that did it together. And then he said, well, we sued so many people, I don't remember that particular lawsuit. It was just a human life destroyed. No reason to remember. And then at least had the grace to concede that there might be some people who would never forgive him. And it put me in mind of Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, who would have been one of the greatest baseball players who ever lived, but that wasn't enough. So he started taking steroids, so that he could be better and better and better until, of course, he was discovered, lied, and disgraced, and he's not in the Hall of Fame, which is where he ought to have been. Not because of ambition, but because of ruthless ambition. An ambition that is all about ego and very little about achievement. The ambition that exists, which did not exist, by the way, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that every time you have a touchdown, you have to humiliate your opponents. You can't only score, you have to spike the football, do a dance, say something that says, look world, I am wonderful. And this ruthlessness exists all throughout our society. It doesn't matter if you make hundreds of millions. You must make many, many hundreds of millions. And it doesn't matter if you trample people along the way, because after all, it's you. And it is a plague. And it not only bedevils our financial system, which it does, but also our social structure, which sees greater and greater and greater divides between the haves, and by the way, that's us, and the have-nots. And those are the people we don't see. We know they live somewhere around here, but we don't see them very much. And that's a plague. And one concomitant of this plague, one side effect, one part of it, is that you can go through an entire election season and nobody talks about it. Because you don't want to make people feel bad about themselves, because if they do, they won't vote for you. So you get candidates for a country who only speak about the wonderful things that we do and don't talk about the fact that there are lots of people in this country who suffer from the ruthless ambition of others. From the fact that it used to be that wealth induced public service, and the families, the moneyed families who existed in America, the Bushes, the Kennedys, assumed that their privilege meant that they owed public service to the country. That ethos is largely gone because of the plague, not of ambition, but of ruthless ambition, of indifferent ambition. Ambition, if you will, on steroids. We suffer from the plague of people who will not make any concession in what it is that they want for the public good. And so, despite the fact that almost 90% of America says that, of course, you have to have background checks when one person sells a gun to another, that law has never been passed. It may be now, but it never has been. Even though, of course, it makes sense if I have a gun and I want to sell it to you, that we ought to find out who you are before you get it. But private sales haven't been regulated. Why? Because that infringes on my desire to sell you a gun. And because it's me, I don't like it. As though we should make no concession to the public good, because after all, individualism and freedom are all that matters. And we know, right to left, all across the political spectrum, that America has never been this, and no society can sustain being this, and yet we hang on to our ambition with our teeth and won't let go. No society ultimately can survive that way. And everyone knows this. On January 29th, we're going to have a mayoral town hall. We'll have all the candidates for mayor, all the major candidates here. It's one of the things I'm going to ask them. Do you think we suffer from a ruthlessness in this society? And if so, what would you do about it? You see it everywhere. Sports is a wonderful example. Finance is another example. But it exists almost everywhere. You see it even with parents in schools. If you speak to enough teachers and enough administrators, the attitude of parents towards their children in school has changed. It used to be, I'm concerned that Johnny isn't integrating with the rest of the class. But now parents' attitude is, why are other people treating Johnny badly? Why isn't the teacher doing what Johnny needs? The assumption being that somehow the society ought to organize itself around me, or the extension of me, my child, Because the plague of ruthless egotism, like the plague of ruthless ambition, makes me feel better. It is certainly not the way of the Torah. Our prayers are in the plural, not in the individual. They're not singular. They're do this for us, help us. We need community, we need connection, we need each other, and each individual must make sacrifices in order for that to be true. So maybe you won't win the Tour de France, but as a nice corollary of that, you won't destroy an entire sport and many people's lives. So maybe you won't be the wealthiest person in the world, but as a nice corollary of that, your workers will feel well cared for, well paid, and your corporation will do some good for the public. We need this, and we know this. When the prophet wants to tell Israel what it is that you should do, he says, just this. This is all God asks of you. To do justice, because after all, no society can survive without justice. To love mercy. Notice you do justice, but you love mercy. Ahavat chesed. V'hatznei alechet im Elohecha. And walk humbly with your God. Now where, in the world of music, in the world of sports, in the world of finance, in any of the public worlds that we present to our children as models, do you see people whose sense is, yes, I must walk humbly? It has consequences. It has consequences in the way we think about ourselves and the way we treat one another. This morning, in the LA Times, on the front page of the extra section, do you know what the article about Lance Armstrong was? It was all about how everybody actually lies. That was the article. I read it, I couldn't believe it. That's what they chose to write about. Everybody lies. No big deal that he lied systematically, publicly, privately, sued people who told the truth, destroyed people's lives. After all, and the example they gave is when you tell people, yes, you look great. By the way, you do. You look great. But that's the example. Yeah, it's more or less the same thing. I couldn't believe that that was the choice that they made. Out of what is a perfect example and something, honestly, that should be told to all of our children. To say it doesn't matter if you're the best, if you get there by cheating. But instead, the message was, it's okay, we all lie. If you don't believe me, pick up a copy of the LA Times or steal one. But really, we can't survive alone. We never could. And we can't survive by sacrificing most of us so that a couple of people can be exceptionally prominent. It just doesn't work that way, and it shouldn't work that way, and it never worked that way. And remember what Moses said when God came to him. He said, pick someone else, I'm not good enough. That's why God chose him. Not because he was jumping up like Shrek's donkey saying, pick me, pick me. Had Moses been that person, God never would have chosen him. That was the point. But where is that ethos in our world? It's gone. And that's a plague. It's catching. We catch it from one another and from the public figures that model for us. And it's not good, and it shouldn't be, and we, fortunately, have the antidote. The Torah, if it moves through you, is the antidote, because you realize that life is short and fleeting, and all of us are flawed, and nobody is Superman, and that if you cheat and lie to prove that you are, it shows that you're less, not more. Pharaoh learned that the hard way. And so, in a very different way, did Lance Armstrong. None of us are perfect, but the knowledge of our imperfections is humbling and important. So the next time that you see, publicly, privately, this impulse to exceptionalism in a human being played out in a distasteful way, just remember that that's not a good thing. It's not. That it's unhealthy. That it's destructive. That ultimately, as Ben Franklin said, when this republic was first founded, we will all hang together, or we will all hang separately. So let's hang together. Shabbat shalom.